Okay, welcome to my channel. Okay, so we are back again, and today we're going to talk about the Singapore property market. Okay, I know this is your favorite topic, right? Talking about the Singapore property market. However, this time round, I think it's a little bit special. Instead of just going very, very direct, right? I separate into four different topics that I'm going to talk about, okay? So first of all, I'm going to attend to interest rate, okay? Talking about the interest rate. Second, I'm going to... Okay, so a lot of people have been talking about the interest rate, right? But what is really happening, you know? And what is happening next? Okay, so we're going to cover for at least the rest of 2024. If I have some views about 2025, 2026, of course I will add in lah. But the more accurate one that I feel is what will happen in 2024. So first of all, we talk about interest rate. Then second of all, we talk about the HDB truth. The real truth about HDB market, HDB prices, and what is going to happen. And I think this is going very far because I will also share with you my views on what is the HDB market going to become and where is it heading to. Then the next one, we talk about the new launch market as well as the resale market. Why is it still moving? As well as touch a little bit on renter. So I'm going to separate this into two because in order to facilitate a better video, the first video, which is this video, we will talk about the interest rate as well as the HDB side. Okay. Then the second video is about the new launch private property as well as the resale private property as well as a little bit on the renter side. However, I feel that both videos are interconnected. So if you don't watch the first video, you will not roughly understand the second video. Because there is some relationship. I mean, after all, the market is one as a whole lah, okay? At least that's what I feel. Okay? So let's go. Okay. I think for these few times, I'm trying to up the standard of the video as well, up the level of the video. So you will realize that I keep looking at my phone, I keep holding on to my phone. It's because I have been trying to conceptualize a lot of thoughts. A lot of things has been coming in. It's not that direct. It's very indirect. So what should I say now is that as per what I feel is that the market is very confused. The market is very complicated. It's definitely unlike the last 2 years, 3 years where we know that, oh, it's a bull market. Prices is still going up. Why? Because of COVID. What is happening? What is the government pushing out and whatsoever. Now, we are at the waiting stage. We are waiting for things to happen. Some things has happened. Some things not going to happen, but people still think it will happen. Some things already happening, but the newspaper don't tell you because some things are very sensitive. So, the first thing in this video, like I said just now, is that we're going to talk about interest rate. I think there's a lot of stories about interest rate that people are throwing in the market. Like for example, if today, the interest has gone up high, inflation has recovered, the Federal Reserve in USA will actually cut the interest rate. When they cut, the bank interest in Singapore will drop. I tell you across the board, whether you are in the industrial, commercial, or whether you are in the residential, everybody's interest, right, is at all-time high for at least, I think, the 5-6 years ago. So, some industrial, industrial commercial interest rate is at about 3.9 plus minus. Residential is a little bit lower, okay? So, residential, I have seen customers sign at around 3.2. Some BUC one is even lower, okay? That is how the market is today. So let's share a little bit from a year ago or 2 years ago to today. Did interest rate actually improve? The answer is yes, interest rate has improved. Did interest rate improve because of the Federal Reserve? The answer is not really. Okay, why not really? Let me roughly explain a little bit. Okay, so let me share a little bit. If you look at the package that's being signed last year, they are all about 3% over, 3.5% plus minus. If you reprice floating rate today, you may still be at about 4, 4.5, 4.2, 4.3, depends on which bank you're at. However, if you look at it today, right, the customer that is buying BUC or they are buying resale private property or even HDB, I think the interest has been floating around 2.9 fixed or 3 fixed. So to be frank, we don't need the Federal Reserve to cut rates to see a lower interest rate in Singapore. In the situation today and the scenario today, the truth is the banks are already offering better interest rates on their side. Means like whether is it a fixed rate, whether is it mostly their fixed rates that are lower lah, but their fixed are fixed plus variable. Why fixed plus variable is that they always have like 1 year fixed, 2 years fixed, 3 years fixed, then later variable will kick in. Then within this lock-in period, it will be fixed. Then later variable will kick in. So this is how their fixed package work. So if you feel that, hey, Aaron, the Federal Reserve is not going to cut rate, interest rate will not drop, it's not true lor, because even the Federal Reserve today, they are, I think 5.25 or something, the Singapore residential interest rate for purchase, new purchase, means like you buy a new house, not repricing, means you buy a house today, on the residential side, on the resale side, or the BUC side, they are all already below 3. I think BUC is a little bit lower. However, the risk assessment used to calculate your loan is still very high. So meaning that if the bank wants to determine how much loan to lend you for resale property, they still use 4.8% plus minus. If they use BUC, they still use 4.2% plus minus. Even though they are giving you a fixed rate at 2.9 or 3 or 3.1%. Okay, so the story about interest rate is that the interest rate drop. Yes, it has already dropped, you know. Will interest rate drop cause the market to boom again? The answer, I think, is no, because the interest rate risk remain high in the market, meaning that there's still chance that the interest rate may go up in the next few months, or the bank decide that, hey, we cannot go for 2.9 because it's unsafe, then the interest rate go up. There's always a possibility there. Why is there this possibility? The reason is very simple. The uncertainty in the money market or the economy is there. So it's not just in Singapore, but around the world, and it's not just about the property sector, but all around the world, the uncertainty is high. So if you look at it now, I think due to the war and whatsoever, there's the shipping, import, export, the container, and all these shipping prices will increase, and therefore the cost may be pushed to the consumer also. So if you follow the news clearly lah. So that concludes the interest rate story. Interest rate has already lower, but that's not due to the Federal Reserve, because the Federal Reserve has already said that they will only do one cut this year. Okay, how real or how truth is it? I don't know, but they will only do one cut this year. The rest they'll remain. This is what they said, I think, yesterday. So while I'm trying to plan this video, a lot of things keep coming in. So that's why I say June is June is the mark for the half of the year, and a lot of things can be concluded in June. However, if you are really purchasing a property today, you will realize that you can go for a fixed rate at 2.9%, 3%, or if you go for BUC, even though it may not be fixed but floating, you're still floating at a very low rate. So this is why I say, does the interest rate really matter? My answer is no. Will the interest rate affect the market in the next few years? As of now, for the next 1 to 2 years, my answer is also no. So, full stop to the interest rate story. I don't believe in the interest rate story, because I feel that there's a lot of other risks around, a lot of other things that is around, rather than just the property market. Where the property market goes depends on the interest rate. I think this story is not important now. Okay, then we come to the most important part of this whole video. Why I say this is the most important part of this video, right, is because I have always been trying to talk about this problem, and I have thought about making this video for many, 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 many weeks to come, and actually maybe a month ago I have been working on it already, and I'm just waiting for the right timing to release this lah. First of all, I think in one of my videos, I did say that if you talk about $1 million property today, $1 million HDB flat today, it's very common. You know, I don't know why some of the news channel, okay, keep talking about $1 million HDB flat. Every day I see $1 million HDB, $1 million HDB, $1 million. What is the big deal, guys? There's no big deal. Why? Because first of all, if it's new, okay, if it's in prime area, if it's a very big jumbo unit or a mansionette, it doesn't need to be new if it's a mansionette, they will still get a million, you know? Why? Because the 4 rooms today are already getting 600, 700,000 plus. The 5 room today are already achieving about 800 plus in the non-prime areas. So why is it something amazed that, oh, the prime area is getting 1 million? It's very common, you know? So it boils back down to the age, the location, and the place you are buying, you know? So there is no big deal about a $1 million HDB flat anymore. But the thing is the HDB market a sustainable market or not? So I want to talk about this is because, first of all, let's straighten it, okay? My view is HDB is not for investment. I have been hearing comments like this on and off, and people are telling me that, hey, you know, Aaron, I feel that the HDB prices will go up again, HDB won't lose money, you know, HDB will continue to go up due to inflation, and you see what happened for the last 4 or 5 years, HDB prices have gone up. 4 or 5 years ago, it was only at 500 plus thousand, now it's already 600,000. So even, I think, and they were telling me that, oh, this is why people are willing to go for $1 million HDB flat, because they can still earn money from it, and to pay $1 million, you can get that kind of space in the prime area. What's so no good about it? I don't agree, guys. So you cannot take what happened in the last 4 or 5 years in the COVID era to determine what will happen to the HDB market in the next 10 to 20 years. Because if you look back to history, HDB prices went up due to one thing, due to inflation. And every time it went up, every time the prices for HDB goes up, our chicken rice price go up. So our chicken rice from $2, $2.50, $3.50, now I think some places already at $4.50, that's it lah. Maybe we talk about the lower end one, we're not talking on average lah, we don't talk about those very expensive ones, $5, $6 also have, very standard. Actually, Zapkui Call also have lah, $15 also see before, okay? So the thing is, the HDB prices move along with inflation. If your chicken rice price go up, your property price will go up. However, we need to remember one thing. There is still this thing called the lease. All HDB flats has a 99 years lease. So if you look at it, right, the 99 years lease are always affected by the age of the buyer, the percentage of CPF that the buyer can take, the amount of loan that the buyer can take, and the amount of grant that can be given to the buyer for the EHG. So all these things are calculated based on the age of the property. I want to share with you a story. 15 years ago when I entered the market, I think at least for 5 to 6 years, I never ever hear anybody talk about how old is the property. No property agents, no buyer, no seller talk about how old is the property. They just transact, they just buy what they like. They don't care how old is the property. That was the era about 10, 15 years ago. However, at that time, the age is already counting. The time is already moving. Everything is moving. There's nothing that stopped. This thing about lease and age of property has not started recently. It started long, long time ago. Some of the properties started 20, 30 years ago. So people are not aware of it. People are not focusing on it because at that time, the age of the overall property in Singapore is still very young. So people don't care how old is their property. People don't care because it doesn't affect their CPF, because it doesn't affect their loan amount. But recently, in the last 5 to 8 years, people start to talk about it. People start to talk about HDB, the CPF, even the government, the parliament talk about it, talk about the lease, talk about how they're going to change this and change that. And then because of that, they have a bala table, and then they talk about it, they discuss how they're going to, what are the changes. Then recently, there's a chart that come out and whatsoever, okay? I tell you, if you are a seller or buyer today and you didn't see this coming to you and you buy an old property and then end up when everybody starts to talk about it and then you decide to sell, then that's it. You already got yourself into the problem. So we have to understand that things that are not being recognized doesn't mean that that problem is not there. It's just that that problem has not been explored. or that problem haven't explode. So people don't talk about it. But the problem is already there. So this is why I want to share one thing is that if today you look at the HDB market today, it's very normal in the HDB market for properties to become, the price to become lower if the property become older. So it's a norm. Throughout the whole of that 10, 20, 30 years that we have in the history of HDB or even more, property prices actually have a comparison between age. So it's very difficult if size to size, location to location, it's impossible. I would say that it's impossible to have a newer property to be cheaper than the older property. So the older property will always be cheaper. So age is always moving. If today you buy a 5-year property, your MOP is 5 years, then 10 years means you will sell at a 10 years mark. Do you expect that when you sell at a 10 years mark, you will sell higher than the 5 years mark? Go and think about it. If you buy a property today at a 15 years mark, and you sell 10 years later, which is the 25 years mark, do you expect your property price to be higher at the 25 years mark when your property is older? I think this is a very wrong perspective that people are getting. People are thinking that even though their HDB are getting older, the price will not drop. I really don't think so. Okay, so there's a few things that I want to share about is that today we have to recognize one thing is that first of all, the HDB market is always in a controlled environment. It's always a kind of product that is being controlled by the government to make sure that there's a fair housing price, there's a fair housing policy, and everybody as a Singapore citizen will have a chance to own a flat. So this is the direction of the government. One thing that we may not remember is that the government has already announced the prime, plus, and standard housing. Have they announced the rules to it and the law to it? They have not. Have they dropped hints about it? Yes, they did. They talk about, maybe the MOP will change to 10 to 15 years. They may add an income ceiling to it. So today you buy resale property, there's no income ceiling. You can be earning 20,000, 25,000, 30,000 household income. You can buy a HDB flat. But next time, if let's say you want to go and buy a plus housing or prime housing, if your income is more than 14,000, you cannot buy a prime housing or you cannot buy a plus housing. I'm not too sure, but the government has dropped hints that says that they will be implementing all these things to the plus housing as well as the prime housing. So things like, I think recently you see there's a lot of BTOs that's launching. Like example, they were talking about this, the old Bottle Tree Park at Yishun. Then they were talking about Tengah Estate. They were talking about some new, better ones like the more prime one like Bukit Timah Turf Club. So, but Bukit Timah Turf City, all these things, I think they should be under the, at least, not plus, then must be prime already. Then there will still be coming out a few other prime housing, I think in Kallang and whatsoever. However, we have not heard the news about what is the rules for plus and prime yet. So you have to understand this, they will be releasing this in July. And they will release the news. So this is why I want to do a reminder on this video is that if you really think that the property price will not get affected, then you're wrong. Number one, the government will insert a lot of new options into the market. And the people that can wait will go and wait. The people that cannot wait or think that they cannot wait will go to the resale market. But the government will do it so well that the people that cannot wait will try to wait because they want to buy the new BTO flat, because they feel that buying the new BTO flat will allow them to earn more money. So all this prime and plus will change the whole environment in the HDB market. Some people will say that, hey Aaron, but my HDB flat is old one. It doesn't apply to my HDB flat. My HDB flat don't have plus or prime. Or my HDB flat is the old HDB flat. So the new ruling don't affect me. Why you talk to me about this? Guys, don't be naive, okay? Because once all these prime and plus come into the market, they will flood the market. When they flood the market, please remember, 8 years down the road, or maybe even 14 years down the road, 15 years down the road, the HDB environment will change because we will have the old, the standard, the plus, and the prime. Everybody will have their rules and their laws that govern them. Today, I give you an example. The prime prices may just float at about 900 over 1,000 because the MOP is 10 years, 15 years or whatsoever. I don't know. And then because the income ceiling is being capped and whatsoever, and a certain amount maybe have to give back to the government. We don't know, but there's rules. So the government will use these rules to make sure that the price in this prime living and this plus living will remain controlled. When these prices reflect that it's being controlled, the other houses will have to take benchmark somewhere. So in the whole HDB market, right, prime, plus, standard, and the old HDB flats, they will all be in one whole chunk. They are all under HDB flat. Someone got to benchmark someone. So when all these things are being set, the older houses may have to benchmark with them because you cannot allow the new houses to benchmark the old houses because the new houses have a law to it. So the government will set a benchmark here so that everybody will follow the benchmark. This is actually a very clever plan because this allows the HDB market to be well controlled again. I'm not saying that the government is trying to control you and whatsoever. No, this is go back to the main purpose of HDB flat. HDB flat is to make sure that Singapore has a fair housing system and everybody have a chance to own a HDB flat. So by doing this, the whole HDB environment and prices will get benchmarked and will get moderated correctly. And once it gets moderated correctly, this is where those people that thinks that, hey, I want to buy HDB flat to earn money, I think the times will be gone. Because I feel that a lot of people do not understand is that actually HDB flat is a big thing in Singapore because it allows every Singaporean to own their own house. So the government needs this policy is very important because it shows the effort and the amount of things that is being done by the government to do this, because to achieve this is not easy. This is like a milestone. This is like something important for the Singapore government, for the country of Singapore. It can never be done wrongly, guys. If this is done wrongly, then that may be the end of the government, or this will be the end of Singapore. Okay, disclaimer, I'm just giving you an example. Okay, disclaimer, please do not anyhow say that I say the government jialat area. No, I never say that. I'm just saying that this is a very important part of the whole Singapore system. So the government is trying to make sure that this is fair and this is always being moderated, and not just because people try to fry the market, people try to push the market, people try to push the prices. So this is why last month, I think in May, you see the government coming out asking people to remove their advertisement when they market their property more than 20-30% of market price. And if they deem that you are trying to fry the market or push the market out and post a misleading property advertisement, they're going to investigate the agent. They're going to interview the seller. They're going to do something about it. They want it to be removed first. And to be frank with you, the real estate companies has been sending a lot of messages to their agents, telling the agents that, hey, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, because the government is telling them that you're not supposed to do that. And the recent HDB portal has also tell you that you cannot post a property price more than 10 or 20%. If not, they will remove your listings, they will remove your advertisement. So you must understand this. The government is putting a lot of effort to moderate the HDB market. So please do not take HDB as an investment product. I always tell the customer, you buy HDB because you want space, you don't want to spend too much, you don't want to be thinking about, the property price go up and down, later very volatile, I don't want to take the risk. And you are not thinking about earning money. You are thinking about buying a place and hope that it doesn't lose money. I think that's good enough. You cannot buy a place and think that this is like a private property or it's for investment lah, and the price will go up lah. I want to buy here because I think that this price will go up, you know, I think I can earn money from this. I think all these things are wrong. And if you look at it, the invention of ABSD is also very beautiful, because the invention of ABSD will not allow the consumer to buy a HDB flat, then rent out the HDB flat and buy a private condo and stay. Because by doing that, you need to pay ABSD. So in order to protect this, the government come up with ABSD so that people don't do this. People don't go and buy their HDB flat, then stay 5 years, then rent out, then go and buy a private condo. Then end up, everybody use their HDB flat as investment and rent out their HDB flat. This is wrong. The government also come out, PR buy HDB flat cannot rent out regardless whether they meet MOP or not. This is also to protect the HDB market. So there's many, 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 many rules that the government has come out to protect the HDB properties. So this is something that I think people have to wake up their idea. This is not like you buy HDB flat because you want to earn money. And recently, I think the government also came out with rental vouchers for BTO buyers. But of course, you have to meet the criteria. So they are doing all they can to attract people back to the BTO market. They are building as fast as they can. Now they tell people that the waiting time is only like 3 to 4 years. So they are doing everything they can so that people are coming back to the BTO market. When people come back to the BTO market, they will leave the resale market. And when the resale market has less buyers, then the resale market will have less competition. When there's less competition, then hopefully the supply can be more than demand. And that's where prices will get moderated. That's where prices will not keep going up. So this is what the government is trying to do. The first most important way, and this is also being used in the private property market now. Okay, so you want to understand more, you can wait for my next episode where I talk about the private property market. So the number one most important point is that the government are inserting supply. By inserting supply, okay, the resale property market, whether it is HDB or private property, will not fly. Okay. And you see, when the government inserts supply in the private property market, we don't see en bloc going on. So that's it for today's video. I hope I explained this as clearly as I can. So if today you are buying HDB properties, please don't have the wrong thinking. Please do not use your HDB property as an investment tool and think that you will make money. I think we have to really think twice, because there is some bias. I read some articles and there's some buyers that they don't care whether they are paying more for HDB or not, because they feel that the HDB prices will go up, they will earn money next time. It's okay to pay 50,000 COV, it's okay to pay 100,000, 200,000 COV. I think all this concept and all this mindset is very, very wrong. Okay, so please understand what is HDB, what is the government doing to moderate HDB market. I think it's not easy, and they're putting a lot of effort to make sure that it's correct. So I think it takes everybody's understanding to know whether you're buying the property and the correct kind of property that you really want. Does it match the objective that you are going towards? Okay, so hit the like button, subscribe button, I see you in the next episode. It takes a lot of effort just to make a video. It takes you less than 1 second to click the like button. Follow me on my YouTube channel, hit subscribe, then stay tuned for the next episode where we talk about the private property market as well as the rental market and what is going on for the next 6 months. So hopefully by July, August, you will see the government releasing the details for those prime housing and those plus housing, and that will actually conclude a clearer picture for everyone on the future direction of Singapore HDB market. Bye bye.